Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Introverted Nerd Watches. I'm Reese, your host. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome for the very first time. Yay, I love new people. Not really, but I love when new people listen to me. I don't like to meet new people, though. If you're new, I do that a lot. I say random things and then I go off on tangents about them, but I won't do that today. This episode is all about Black Lightning because I watched season 2, episode 9, The Book of Rebellion, chapter 2, Gift of the Magi. And it is the mid-season finale, although I don't know how you call it a mid-season finale since this is episode 9 and there are only, 13 episodes, I believe. I believe there's 4 episodes after this in the new year. So yeah, mid-season finale, they call it. I'll call it a winter finale because that sounds better to me. I'll call the CW and make sure they never do this again where they call it a mid-season finale after they take a break after the 9th episode. I mean, come on, you guys. Be better. You're the CW. You're the CW. You're a major network or a mid-major network. And you shouldn't be doing that. So it'll make me feel better if you call it the winter finale. I want to encourage everybody else to call it a winter finale too, because it'll just drive me nuts. So yeah, it's the winter finale of Black Lightning. And that was an episode. I didn't love it. The ending, going on hiatus after this episode seems very anticlimactic. It's not the kind of episode that encourages you to come back as a viewer. And if you're like me and you haven't really been enjoying the season, then it's even worse because this episode just felt like a lot of just spinning the wheels in mud, because it ended for the Pierces, specifically the Pierces, Anissa, Jeff, Lynn, the whole Jennifer storyline, Jennifer and Khalil storyline. It began the episode with them on the run, Khalil sick, and it ended, you know, Khalil is healed, but they're still on the run. This just, the whole Bonnie and Clyde storyline is going on a little too long for me. The focus of Jennifer's love for Khalil and, you know, their love for each other, it wasn't working for me to begin with, and now it's getting worse. The longer it goes on, the worse it gets for me. I'm not particularly invested in their relationship, so the longer this goes on, the more turned off I am. The really interesting thing to me in this episode was the stuff that Tobias is doing, but you know, I don't really have an idea for what Tobias has going on, and I'm actually intrigued and interested in what he's going to do next. But you know, the Pierces are the majority of this, and I don't know how long I want to keep watching this show if what I like the most is Tobias. You know, I love Tobias, and maybe I'm being a little bit overdramatic. I don't think I'm going to stop watching the show, but the most fun I have with this show is on Twitter, like live tweeting the show. And that is not great, because that's how I felt about The Flash when the Flash was really bad, and I don't watch the Flash anymore. So yeah, and I hear it's better, so maybe I should start watching again. Maybe, you know, once the season is over, I'll think about watching the Flash. Anyway, before I get into the full review, you should subscribe to the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. It's even available on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. So head to all those places or wherever you get your podcast. Click that subscribe button and you will get the latest episode of this podcast every time one is released, immediately when it's released. You'll be the first. It's always good. It's always nice to be the first to do something. So you want to be the first, subscribe. And now let's get to the full review. Since Tobias was not the biggest part of this episode, let me start with Tobias, because, and since it's the thing that I'm most interested in, because I got a lot to say about the Pierces. I'm not feeling all the Pierces right now. So Tobias is moving on to something new. Tobias is looking for, I guess, a new henchman. And the person he has in mind is a guy named Todd Green. I believe his name is Todd Green. His first name is, it's Todd Green. And he is he's a young man who is in some kind of science. He's in like science or technical field. He starts the episode in a meeting learning that he has been turned down for a grant. And they don't go into specifically what the grant was for or, you know, what he wanted to do with it, something technology based. And he ends the meeting by being escorted out because he calls the board members racist and because they gave the grant to a person whose father is rich already, and he donated a wing to the institution. His name is Garrett Tortolani, which is, it's such a bad fake name. That's the only thing I can think of. We don't see Garrett Tortolani or anything, but the fact that it's just such a bad fake name, it kind of threw me off for a second. But anyway, he gets escorted out by security, and he actually picks out the black guy that's in the group. He's like, "And you, my brother," like, it was so funny because this old black man is looking at him like, "Ooh," like, and he gets escorted out to his car by security. And when he opens his car door, he sees a really formal note from Tobias. It's like on this like card stock. It's very nice. The fact that Tobias leaves those kinds of notes, like, it's a creepy note. Like, it would be creepy if it was written down, but the fact that it's so formal and you know, on Tobias like card stock, and it's, you know, nicely designed, it's like, oh, you have to like take notice of that. So Tobias taking something creepy and making it seem more professional. At least to me, but you know how much I love Tobias, so I'm willing to forgive him damn near anything. But yeah, I'm like, ooh, Tobias, look at this. So, and Todd Green felt the same way that I did, because he goes to meet Tobias. The note basically tells him to, meet Tobias at the 100 Club because he deserves better. And so Todd Green was intrigued by that, and he goes to meet Tobias, and Tobias just runs down all of his, you know, life's accomplishments. He's very smart. He graduated from high school early. He got his master's degree and his PhD by the time he was like 23 years old. So he's basically a genius. The thing that I was so impressed with is Tobias put his hate for niggas aside, to fucks with this guy. And I'm like, this guy must be really special, because whatever Tobias wants him to do, he says that it's that Todd Green is one of only three people in the world that can do what Tobias needs him to do. So what the hell does Tobias want him to do is like the thing that's like foremost in my mind. Like what is Tobias planning? Yeah, I really want to know what Tobias is planning. It better be good too. So he's just, I'm really impressed with Tobias and his manipulation of Todd Green. Because we saw what he did with Khalil, and with Khalil, it seemed like really easy. He gave Khalil like an Xbox and told him, you know, Black Lightning was bad. And Khalil immediately turned on everything he was previously to go over to Tobias's side. So, you know, Tobias barely had to work to get Khalil to, you know, come over to be his, you know, his henchman. So the fact that Tobias is this prepared for Todd Green, it means that he kind of respects what Todd has to offer. Not just that he needs him, but you can tell there's a level, or at least that's how I felt, that Tobias had a level of respect for this guy and what he can do. And I appreciate that because, you know, even with the congressman, Tobias was, is like punking him and calling him names and shit and just basically making fun of him. But with Todd Green, it's like, it's something on another level. Now, the fact that Todd is like, he seems like he's on the spectrum. He's played by the dude that played the Blue Ranger in the latest Power Rangers movie, which I kind of liked. And he's kind of the same. He's kind of the samey kind of character like he was in the Power Rangers movie. He was on the spectrum, super intelligent. You know, he was basically the heart and soul of that movie. He was the best part. He was aside from Elizabeth Banks, but he was probably the best Power Ranger in that movie. Definitely. So he comes over to this show and he's playing kind of the same character, except he's he's super angry, at least according to what Tobias has said. Tobias said that he's always, as smart as he is, you know, getting his PhD when he's in his early 20s. He's always coming in second, and I guess it's to richer white people. So yeah, Tobias plays on that, and he actually tells him the black man's burden is to carry the weight of white privilege, and he'll keep getting passed over unless he changes the game. So yeah, and that gives Todd something to think about. The thing I kind of appreciate is that Todd didn't immediately say yes the way that it seemed that Khalil did. Todd took time to think about what he was saying. Now, he eventually does say yes to what Tobias wants, but he also did research on Tobias. Like, Khalil was just really stupid about everything. It's probably most likely to show how smart Todd is. The fact that he's not just sort of blindly willing to follow Tobias and to do whatever Tobias wants. He does do research on Tobias. He tells him that he read up on him and he did research on him, and everything that he read was unflattering. And Tobias is like, well, don't believe everything you read. You know, I don't believe everything I read about you, so don't believe everything you read about me. And Tobias is, you know, when Tobias is smiling and being really charming, you can see why people like him, why people are not immediately intimidated by him. Because if you look at Tobias, he's like a big guy. He has albinism, which doesn't make you like intimidating immediately, but he looks like he can be a real big intimidating guy. But when he smiles and he's talking to you, it's like, okay, you know, you can get on board with what he's saying. You know, and Tobias is obviously really intelligent. So I appreciate that they're showing us this different side of Tobias, that he's not just all, as much as I love his hatred for Black people, I like that that's not all he's about. And he's also, surprise, not homophobic either. So one of the ways that he wanted to try to entice Todd to be on his side was to have two girls in the club waiting for him, like, you know, to do whatever they were going to do. And Todd sits down in between these two women, and they start, you know, just touching him, rubbing on him. And he tells Tobias, like, no, you know, I don't want this. This is not, you know, I'm not into this. And he wants them. He actually makes it clear that he doesn't like to be touched. So Tobias is like, well, you know, he tells the women to stop touching him. He's like, well, if you don't want these women, do you want a couple of dudes? Like, you know, like whatever you're into, I'm into, you know, I'll get it for you. And he's like, no, I'm not into dudes. It's just, you know, I don't like to be touched, which is cool that Tobias is like, you know, I can get you some dudes. Like, it's no problem here. It's like, no, like, yuck. Like, do you want dudes here? Like, I can't even deal with it. And Tobias is like, nah, nope. You know, whatever you want, I can get it for you. It's no problem. Hate Black people, not homophobic though. So I so appreciate that. It's so funny though, because you expect Tobias has got layers, because I expected Tobias to fully be like, no, I didn't expect him to say like the F word or anything, but I did expect him to be like anti-gay. And the fact that he's not is like, okay, Tobias, you kill people, you hate Black people, but you're not a homophobe. I have such a low bar for Tobias that I'm like, you're not homophobic? Oh my God, Tobias, you're just a great man. Like, I'm such Tobias trash. So the thing that Todd actually turns down Tobias, he's like, he basically like, I don't trust you. You know, you got some shit going on. I'm not interested in doing whatever it is you're doing. And Tobias turns it around on him and it's like, no, what you want is power. And you're not going to get power doing the shit that you've been doing. So here's what I'm going to do. And he transfers what I think is not a whole lot of money into his account. He transfers $100,000 into his account, like, immediately. And Todd is like, he's just like amazed. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not rich. I don't have 100K to just be handing out to people. I don't have 100K at all. I'm broke as shit. But if I see $100,000, I'm not like, oh my God, the way Todd was. I'm not like, oh my God, this shit is amazing. Like, yeah. And this is what changes his mind. He's like, money. Todd must be like, those student loans must be just killing him for him to be like, $100,000. Let's do whatever you want, Tobias. Because he immediately just like, he sees that 100K in his account. And he's like, oh shit. Like, I almost expected him to say, I'm rich, but it's like $100,000 is like, it's not a whole lot of money. It's not like I can take this money and retire type thing. It's just, it's a lot of money, but it's not, that's like a down payment for a house. Whatever. It was enough to convince Todd. Todd is down for whatever Tobias wants to do. And Tobias is going to get him that money, power, and respect. Yeah. So that's good for Todd. Can't wait to see what they're going to do next. But that was basically all of Tobias. Yeah, that was basically Tobias's whole thing. Now, this whole Todd thing came out of nowhere. And that's another that's kind of a problem I'm kind of having. It just seems they keep introducing these elements into episodes that it's like where is this coming from? You know, it just feels like it came out of nowhere. Like Tobias is making these plans. I don't know. It felt like this came out of nowhere. It just felt like it was misplaced in this episode, because the rest of the episode is all, you know, the Pierces and Jennifer and Khalil, you know, the search for Jennifer and Khalil. So to have this piece with Tobias that's sort of not really connected to anything other than the fact that Tobias is also has Cutter searching for Khalil. It's just like, I mean, okay. If this is what you want to do. But it's one of the reasons I didn't like the episode. It just threw me off a little bit. Any old way. Let's move on to the Pierces, because they're all fucked up. Lynn is just spiraling out of control. She's pissed at Jeff because we start with them where they ended the last episode, where Jennifer, they like just miss Jennifer. They're still at the aunt's house waiting for her to wake up and like questioning her. And Jeff is like keeping Lynn up to date. So he keeps calling her, you know, after they don't find Jennifer. So she's pissed at him that he let Jennifer get away. And, you know, she just hangs up on him. He's obviously upset because Jennifer is missing, but also the fact that he says it later in the episode that he feels sort of useless, the fact that he's Black Lightning and he can't find his daughter. So he feels, you know, I guess emasculated, and he can't take care of his family, which I understand, but it makes Jeff sort of act like a baby in this episode. You know, I'm empathetic to a parent whose child is missing and they just sort of lose control. But the fact that Anissa has to once again be the voice of reason and she has to calm situations in this episode is like, no. That's not who Anissa is. You haven't earned that. So I don't want to see that shit. And Anissa is still Anissa, and I don't like her. So let's start with Lynn, because Lynn shouldn't have been in this episode, is what I think. Lynn, she decides to do her own investigation. Jeff is not finding Jennifer. So she decides that she's going to go around and investigate for herself, try to find clues for where Khalil and Jennifer might go. She goes to see Khalil's mom. That's where her investigation starts. And she wants to know if she can search Khalil's room, because that might tell her something about where Khalil and Jennifer might go. And it's like really? Since when? Khalil hasn't lived with his mother in who knows how long. So, I don't know. And maybe we're just supposed to take this as Lynn not wanting to just sit home doing nothing. So this is what she's doing, but really? And Khalil's mom. I got to talk about Khalil's mom for a second, because this woman is not a good actress. She talks like a stereotype from an old Black like movie or TV show written by a white person. Like, just the way she speaks about Khalil, you know, she talks about Khalil's father, or I mean, I don't know if he's her ex-husband or whether he's just her kid's father, but she talks about him slinging mud on the street corner. And it's like, and just the way that she speaks, it's like, ew, like, no, like, why does she sound like this? She sounds like, you know, a maid or something from an old TV show. It just so throws me off. Like, if I didn't know that a Black person like wrote this show, I would be like, Like, what white person thought that this woman was supposed to be, like, who thought she was supposed to be here? And maybe it's supposed to be like this contrast between the super educated Lynn and this woman. But then we see her, Khalil's father, later in the episode, and he who you would expect to be like this, you know, super, like, he would be just super black person, like, super, he got out of prison, like, he's a dude that just got out of prison, so you would expect him to be using a lot of slang and everything, and he's not. He just speaks like a regular old person. She speaks like she's, you know, a maid from an 80s TV show or a 70s TV show. Just, it's just so bad. She's so bad. And I was thinking this last week, or was she on the episode last week or the week before? Whatever. I was thinking about it the last time she was on the show, but I was like, okay, like, nobody else was saying anything. And I was like, maybe it's just me. And it probably still just is just me, but just the way, just go back and listen to the way that she talks. And it's like, which show is she on? Like, where is she from? I don't get it. And she's also not a very good actress to me anyway. So while Lynn is searching Khalil's room, she finds a picture of him with his father, who, like I said, was in prison. And Lynn wants to know if her father might know anything. This woman hates that man. And she's like, you know, whatever. I'm not even interested in it. That's how she's just like, she's not interested in him. But he obviously saw Khalil after he was in the wheelchair, because it's the picture of him in the wheelchair with his father. And Lynn goes to see his father. First, she goes to the sanctum, because they're going to try to make that happen. It's the Batcave, but they call it the name is the Sanctum. I'm going to try to remember that. It's not very memorable to me, because I found that out a few episodes ago and I completely forgot about it. But Lynn goes to the Sanctum to do research to try to find Khalil's father. And she talks to Gambi, because Gambi has everything wired, so he knows when somebody goes into the sanctum. And he talks to Lynn, and he basically tells her, you know, you shouldn't do this, but I'm not going to stop you because I know you're stubborn. So he tells her how to look for Khalil's dad. And she goes to see him. She gets a gun and everything. And it's so anticlimactic, because the dude works at a diner. He's dumping trash. You know, Lynn, she gets out of the car and Lynn puts the gun in her coat, and she goes up to the guy and they have what is really a nice conversation. He gives her all the information that she asks for. You know, he doesn't really have any answers. The only thing we really find out is that Khalil wasn't living with Tobias. He had his own apartment. And she says, thank you for the info, and she leaves. It's, you know, he doesn't see the gun. The gun doesn't accidentally fall out of her jacket. And, you know, he's not like, oh, my God, you know, you had a gun on you. What did you think? Like, none of that happened. She says, thank you, gets back in the car, goes home. And at the end of the episode, when Jeff tells her again that he couldn't find Jennifer, she starts crying because she thinks Jennifer is dead. She's questioning Jeff about whether Jennifer is dead. And to me, it's like, I understand Jeff wants to keep Lynn up to date on what's going on, but it's like, maybe not tell her. Maybe, you know, keep this to yourself until you have a little bit more solid information. There's no reason to keep calling her and letting her, she's already worried. There's no reason to call her and tell her every little thing that you found, because they find blood and all that. And that's why. And it's like, why are you telling her all this? It doesn't help. It just makes her more upset. And Lynn, you know, she's drinking that brown liquor. Like, Lynn has got problems. So, yeah. But that was basically Lynn in this episode. I don't understand. She shouldn't. we didn't really need her in this episode. We didn't need her to go and talk to Khalil's mom again. She didn't really need to go talk to his dad, because his dad, even though he told her that Khalil had an apartment, he doesn't know where the apartment is. So her investigation is like over right now. It's just over. Whatever. We met Khalil's dad for nothing. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know. They should have just, I mean, I don't know. What else would they have put in the episode? It felt like they just needed to fill time. So they gave Lynn her little side mission. Whatever. The mission for the other Pierces in Gambi is to find Khalil and Jennifer. And they can't. You know, nothing is working. Khalil is hurt. Cutter poisoned him last week. I'm such a dumbass. I thought when she cut Khalil last week that it was some sort of marker that I thought she was a meta. And I thought when she cut him, it was some sort of mark that allowed her to track him easier. Like with her knives, she could, you know, her knives were like special and they allowed her to track him. It does allow her to track him, but it just poisoned him so that it slowed him down so she could track him. So yeah, I didn't think of that. I'm such a dummy. I'm like going to like super, like, oh, she's a meta. So her knives are special and she can track. And it's like, no, she just cut him because she poisoned him and that'll just kill him. So yeah. So much for my theories. So they don't know Jennifer thinks that the cut is, she doesn't realize that it's poison. Neither does Khalil. They think that it's just, it's getting infected and he needs antibiotics. So the plan is for Jennifer to go to the hospital and steal some antibiotics. And through all of this, we're going on about, you know, Khalil keeps telling her to leave. She keeps saying, no, you wouldn't leave me. And it's like they're working really hard to convince me, or to convince the audience in general, that Khalil is a good guy. He loves Jennifer so much. And, you know, he would never abandon her. He's just always so in love with her. He would do anything for her. And they do this, they keep telling you. Khalil says, don't do this. Jennifer says, would you do this? You know, you would do this for me. So it's like, oh, we get it. It's still not working for me, so stop it. Anyway, so Jennifer's going out. She leaves Khalil in a barn. She goes out to the hospital to get the meds, the antibiotics. Meanwhile, Jeff, Anissa, and Gambi are riding around in the Gambi van. And they're trying to come up with a plan. The plan is to go to all of the hospitals or clinics in the area, because they know that Khalil is hurt and they believe that they would go for medication, that, you know, that would be their plan. And this is so stupid to me. So Jennifer goes to a hospital. She goes into a med room and the medication machine, she shorts out the medication machine, which first, okay, she sneaks into this room. You know, that's one thing. Those rooms always stay locked. The room where the medication machines are, they're either in the hallway in front of everybody so that, you know, nobody could sneak to get anything out of them, or they're locked in a med room, where you need ID to get in. So it's like, okay. And there's windows all over them. So you can't, like, even if you manage to get in, there's no way to sneak anything out of there. You know, I've worked in the hospital. I know I'm near these med rooms all the time. you know, they're usually in very high traffic places so that nurses, doctors, whoever, nobody can steal anything out of there. Everything is accounted for. So Jennifer manages to sneak into the med room. It's like, okay, I'll give you that. But then she goes up to the machine and she tries to punch in a code. And I'm like, what did she think she was doing? Like, they don't show her seeing the woman, the nurse that came out of there. They don't show her looking at the code so like that she could have maybe guessed it. Jennifer walks up to it and she is like, she's a smart girl. Does she think that she could just punch in numbers and it would just open? Like, come on, Jennifer. It was such a stupid moment that I'm like, why are they doing this? So she eventually she starts getting static in her ears. And so this convinces her that she can short it out because electricity. So she does. She touches it. She shorts it out. She steals antibiotics and, you know, needles to inject him. And then she walks around a corner. Like when she sneaks, when she was walking out, she walks around the corner and Jeff and Anissa are already there, you know, talking to like nurses at the front desk or whatever. But Jennifer turns around and she ends up running away. Cutter is also there. Cutter sees Jennifer and follows Jennifer out. It's like, okay, how are all of these people here? Nobody sees, the only person that sees is able to do anything is Cutter. And it's like, this is so stupid. It's such a stupid like conceit. The fact that they are all in this hospital at the same exact time, and it just felt like a plot point just to keep all of this going, like to keep all these people on the run, to keep Jennifer and Khalil on the run. You know, we need to have this. And it's so stupid. And I was starting to get frustrated by this because it's like, come on. You know, I like the fact that Jennifer's powers are coming on, the fact that we're seeing her use her powers more, you know, as untested and sloppy as it is. You know, I like that. I hate that all of I hate all the stuff they're doing in service of Khalil. I really hate it. I don't like him. I don't like this love story. I hate it. I really hate it. So, Jeff and Anissa go back out to the parking lot and they talk to Gamby, and Gamby sees the footage of, Anissa hears that there's been a electrical shortage in the hospital. You know, something went out. She figures out that that could have been, what's her name? Jennifer. And they go back out to Gamby, and Gamby looks at the footage and he's like, yeah, that was Jennifer, even though she's wearing all black and she's wearing a hood and all that. He also sees the video of Cutter. So Cutter, he knows that Cutter is following Jennifer, and this freaks Jeff out. It freaks him out to the point where my dude is standing in the middle of the parking lot, already in the middle of a parking lot of a hospital, and he tries to fly off. He's just sort of like, fuck it. You know, I'm going to go find my daughter. And Gamby has to repeatedly pull him down, you know, to stop him from flying off. And, you know, it's like, come on, Jeff. Come on. It's just so, he's in the middle of the parking lot. He's wearing his dad's shirt and his Dockers. Like, what are you doing? You're just going to fly around the city as Jeff Pierce, you know, I was just so frustrated with him. And this is part of Jeff's personality. Like, this has always been a Jeff thing that he's super emotional, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know why I expected something better or more. I don't know. I don't expect Anissa to be the voice of reason in these kind of situations. Whatever. Anyway, Gamby stops him, and Jeff eventually gets mad, tries to attack Gamby. Gamby got that old man strength, and he flips Jeff over on his ass. And it's like, yeah, like Gambi is that dude, and you can't fucks with him, Jeff. Like Gambi taught you. You can't beat Gambi. So Jeff embarrassed laying on the ground. Gambi and this is when Anissa has to break up the fight, and she's like, hey, you know, we all need to concentrate, blah blah blah. And it's like, shut up, Anissa. She's saying the right thing, and I still hate her. So that proves just how much they sank Anissa's character into the ground. Because I can't even agree with her when she's right. So I hate her. I fucking hate her. So they decide they need to go back out. You know, they eventually figure out that Jennifer is at a higher voltage that Jeff wasn't detecting. So they, you know, they figure something out and they're able to track her. Jennifer goes back to Khalil with the antibiotics. The antibiotics obviously don't work because he was poisoned. And Cutter is out there. She has binoculars. She sees how sick Khalil is. And Khalil is like basically on death's door. You know, he and Jennifer are having conversations where she's talking about, you know, how all the girls in school were interested in him, blah, blah, blah. You know, if I liked them, if I liked this relationship, this probably would have been cute, but I don't. And it wasn't. So Jennifer gets so upset. She sees Khalil dying. She goes outside and she is like, you know, she's outside breaking down, crying and all that. And she eventually goes into her mind. You know, she senses something outside. She gets scared. And then she goes into her mind. She does the Perenna thing. And she, when she shows up there into her mind space thingy, Perenna is there and another version of herself is there, her fear, which is what Perenna tells her. Perenna also tells her that she is just a part of Jennifer's mind, that Jennifer just created her there. So basically Jennifer's mind is all coming together, you know, it's all starting to work together. She needs her fear and, you know, her common sense. And she figures what she figures out. I don't know why it took so long. She basically figures out that electricity is in everything, including people's bodies, you know. And it's like, thank you for this elementary school science lesson, you know, like everybody's shocked and amazed when you find out that even human beings have electricity running through their bodies, you know, the low level, but it's so amazing. So she figures that out and it eventually helps her find out that Cutter is out there using binoculars to watch them, and she has to go and save Khalil because he's on death's door. It helps Jennifer, you know, do something smart, which is blind, you know, ambush Cutter. Cutter comes into the barn to kill Khalil, and Jennifer is able to step out behind her and, you know, attack her, shock her, tie her up. And, you know, it's like, yay, Jennifer, for being that smart, for, you know, figuring that shit out. She basically tortures Cutter to try to find out how, you know, what she did to Khalil, you know, why the antibiotics aren't working. And she sees Cutter's, she has all of Cutter's knives, and the poison knives are wrapped with a, like, red tape or something like that. And Jennifer is like, oh, so these are the poison knives. So if I cut you, you have to give me the antidote. And like, she goes through a whole thing where she's like, you know, you're smart enough to have an antidote, you know, for yourself just in case. So she figures out that Cutter has the antidote. And so she cuts Cutter on the face. And that makes Cutter tell her, you know, the antidote is in her necklaces. So she gives Khalil the antidote and they leave. And we find out that she kicks Cutter in the face. So just Jennifer just beat the shit out of Cutter, tied up, and she gives Cutter the antidote too, because Jennifer is not a killer, which is like, okay, you know, whatever. It's only so that we can continue this whole bounty hunter thing, so that Cutter can continue follow them, because eventually Jennifer and Khalil leave. Anissa and Jeff and Gambi arrive at the barn and they see the whole scene and everything, but Cutter is gone. So obviously Cutter has been saved by the antidote, so she can continue following them. And this story will continue on another week, because whatever, they need to continue it. I don't know why. I was so mad that Khalil wasn't dead by the end of this episode. I'm like, just kill him. Like, why are we continuing this? Their relationship ain't that great. Like, just end this and put me out of my goddamn misery. Oh, I hate it. And so we end the episode with Khalil and Jennifer. They're driving away. Khalil, they both realize, you know, her parents aren't going to stop looking for them. Tobias is not going to stop looking for them. And they both realize this. And this is when Khalil tells Jennifer to go home. You know, she shouldn't, she doesn't need to be out there. You know, she needs to go back to her family. And she's like, no, you know, I'm a ride or die kind of girl. I was so mad when this happened. Excuse me. And she's like, I'm ride or die. You know, you wouldn't leave me if this was happening. And I'm like, oh my God. So she's ride or die. And then they have the nerve, the unmitigated gall to play Mary J. and Method Man. You're all I need to get by while these two fools drive away. And I'm like, no, that is not their song. You do not play that song. Oh, I'm like, no, this song is too good for them. It's too good for this episode. No, no. It's just no. So they drive away. And then the other random ass thing that happens the very end of this episode is some black dude who is basically Nightcrawler. Or he has powers like Nightcrawler, killing a bar full of white people and getting a phone call, this cryptic phone call, where he says, you know, the job is done. And then he mentions coming to Freeland. So that's how the episode actually ends. Random guy, random Nightcrawler guy. It's like, what? You know, whatever. This episode was just really like not my thing. Jennifer being ride or die, and just the whole Gift of the Magi thing to begin with. The Gift of the Magi is basically a story about how this couple deal with, they don't have the money to buy gifts for each other. So they both give up something that they love in order to buy a Christmas gift for the one that they love. And when they find, when the person that I believe they like pawn their, you know, their most prized possessions in order to buy the gifts for one another, and when they somehow they both, it's a short story, they both end up getting their their prized possessions back, because it was so like they both gave up the things that were most important for them, like to prove how much they love each other. And I'm guessing that's Jennifer, that's supposed to be like what Jennifer and Khalil are doing for each other. But it's like, Jennifer, what is, she gave up her family for Khalil, but she didn't, I don't know. She gave up her family for Khalil to prove how much she loves Khalil. And what did Khalil give up exactly? Khalil is on the run because his ass is about to be murdered by Tobias. Like, he didn't give up anything. All he did was gain from this situation. Whatever. This episode is over. I'm done with Jennifer and Khalil as a unit. I need them to be over. I need her to go home is what I really fucking need. I need Khalil to be dead or gone just to get away. Like, in order to prove, like, if they wanted this Book of the Magi thing to work, they should have made Khalil leave Jennifer. Like, he loves her so much that he knows that he can't stay with her. He has to leave. Instead, we get the whole I'm ride or die and Mary J and Method Man. And it made me angry. So, and that's not what you wanted to do, right? Writers, that's not, you didn't want to make the people angry. You wanted this, you know, ride off, ride or die thing to be like a rah-rah moment. And it was not that for me. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm interested in what's happening with Tobias in the new year. I want to know what Tobias and Todd Green are going to get up to. I need Jennifer to go home and that's it. I don't know. I need them to do a better job with this. Like, I feel like this season for me, like, unless the last four episodes are really just home runs, I'm going to chalk this season up to like a sophomore slump. To them figuring out what works and what doesn't, and the third season is just going to be more consistent, because this season for me has been really inconsistent, you know. So yeah, that's just how I feel about it. So anyway, this will be my last review of the year, you guys. You won't be hearing me again until 2019, and there's schedule changes too. Black Lightning comes back on January 21st. That's I believe it's a Monday. So yeah, Black Lightning, new night and time, or new night. I believe it's still nine. It still comes on at 9 o'clock. So that's good for me. The podcast schedule is going to change a bit too, because this episode is going to be out on Sunday, and I was releasing these episodes on Saturdays, and the Gifted episode and Black Lightning on the weekends. Both those episodes are going to be released during the week now, because the Gifted comes back on Tuesday at 8. So yeah, it's a good thing though that they're on different nights now. So yeah, that's a good thing for me. I mean, I don't know how good it is for anybody else, but for my podcast scheduling, this works out for me. So, yeah. So, yeah, last podcast of 2017. So, oh, not 2017. My God, 2018. You will have one more episode of me this year. I'm going to do my TV potpourri episode. That's going to be out sometime next week, Thursday, I believe. So yeah, I'm going to just talk about all the TV and movies that I have been watching. I saw Aquaman and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So I'll talk about those two and, you know, everything else that I've been watching before the new year. So yeah, that'll be fun. And I have an announcement of another podcast, so you'll be getting that on this feed. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you get all of this stuff. So yeah, if you want to follow me on the socials, I'm on Twitter at NurtureVertPod, or you can follow me personally at the Ms. Introvert. On Instagram, I'm at the Introverted Nerd. Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/theintrovertednerd. And if you would like to send me feedback of the email variety, send it to theintrovertednerd@gmail.com. You'll find all of that stuff in the show notes. You can also go to theintrovertednerd.com and you can, you know, get all the back episodes. I also have the subscribe buttons on the website, so you can go there. You can subscribe. It's all in nice, you know, one neat little place. So yeah, go there. follow me. Have a happy new year, you guys. It's really early in the morning. I like this early morning. This early morning podcasting, it works for me. Anyway, nobody cares about that. So until next year, bye.